You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station,
one day,
everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Oh, I've been on the record as saying that what we don't want in the state of Florida is to have a digital AI surveillance state where everything we're doing is being tracked at all times.
Yeah. Preach, brother. We don't want a digital surveillance state. We don't want to be England. We don't want to be any of the various forms of dystopian future tech, pre or post-apocalyptic. We just don't want that in the United States. We want to solve crimes, and so these things are at odds with each other, because that's why some of these other countries have gone to such high-intensity camera use, because they don't have the same kind of protections and notions of privacy that we have. But the governor yesterday talking about this in the context of the flock cameras, which have just sort of become the de facto or default state of law enforcement, as, you know, I've talked many times with Chip and Bob and Eric, our chiefs and our sheriffs, about these issues. Because, you know, although the socialists have raised these issues and I think made some quite terrible arguments about them, as they're wont to do, many people from my side and the libertarian side have all said, well, I have concerns about this too. And I wasn't fully on board with the concerns at first, but the more I thought about it, the more I at least move to the uncertain category, and we'll talk more about this in a moment. But the governor yesterday says,
do I think that LPRs can be useful? Well, the state uses it for like toll by plate, but that's a different situation than when you're using it for criminal penalties. So there's obviously times when I think it's probably been useful, but where is this data going? How much data is the companies doing? They claim that the companies aren't going to misuse it, but no one's watching that. And I know you can make some money selling cameras, but you really can make a lot of money if you can sell people's data. And that's what the legislature is going to need to address.
Are there controls on how the information is used? We've been assured there are by all of our local law enforcement leaders. How robust are those protections? How much is Flock going to honor that? Is there any loophole? You know, the concern about the use of surveillance is always, the kind of mass harvesting of any kind of data on private non-criminal citizens is, you know, how is it being used? How could it be used? And could it be sold? And to what end could it be turned? You know, maybe it doesn't get used for a nefarious purpose. Maybe it gets turned to advertising. It'd be massively valuable for that. But, you know, all of these things are things we just don't want to exist and certainly don't want to be a byproduct of law enforcement functions. We've all seen like Minority Report where you walk in, and not just the pre-crime stuff, but, you know, where you walk into a mall and all of a sudden every ad is a pop-up in your face with personalized, and, you know, God save me from that. It's bad enough on social media, let alone if it was everywhere or on your TV or in your car on the, you know, on the screen, just all of the ways that it could be done. In addition to just the idea that government is collecting this information, right? Now, he went on a bit of a detour in these comments yesterday, and he started talking about his own use of technology as governor.
When I became governor, I made the choice, no text, no email, because partially it could be public record. I didn't want to have to be producing things and saving this. But part of it, I couldn't field all the communications I would get in a state of 23 plus million people. And so that's just how I've rolled. It's not always the most convenient, but honestly, I think I'm more efficient as a result. But
interesting. No texting, no emails for the governor.
But because I made that decision, it's hard for me to function and say, because they want to text you something or this or that or anything, just to do commerce, just to do normal things. You know, I've got to call my wife. Can you please do this for me and set this order? And so the notion that somehow you can just totally opt out of where society has gone, that's really not realistic for most people who are engaged in society.
I guess he's basically gone back to the Obama model. A pen and a phone. Remember Obama always said that I was going to use my pen and my phone, you know, I was going to persuade Congress and I was going to write EOs. Anyway, that was not the primary thing that Governor DeSantis was saying, but I did think it was a very interesting soliloquy in the middle.
It was more of a monologue than a soliloquy as well. Thank you.
Okay, Charles Bear, thank you for the correction. I appreciate you always being the nudge for us. All right, so back to the flock camera conversation by Governor DeSantis.
So how much access do they have for their information? How's that being sold? All these different things. What are your protections from that? But here's the thing that on the flock, and look, a lot of our law enforcement that have used it at the local and county level, I think are using it to focus on criminal. I don't think it's their intent to do general surveillance.
That's true. They're not trying to do general surveillance. It's just that it's such an effective tool if you do have mass surveillance or mass harvesting of the movements of a car by the license plate readers, and then AI can go search through that and find you. You know, the red four-door that left the beach between 7:01 and 7:05 on Sunday afternoon because we think that's connected to a drive-by shooting. You know, like, that's how it gets used. Or there's an Amber Alert. Or there is a murder. Or there is a sexual assault. And we know it was this car, and so we can go find that car real quick. Or a Silver Alert, even. But the concern is not about how law enforcement is using it now for good things. The concern is, are people's privacy rights, the right to movement, being violated through this process now? Could they be misused now? And how could it be misused in the future or under other circumstances? We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that hit-and-run crash, Palafox Street at Burgess Road. No delays there. Just a small delay at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to the governor yesterday.
I will tell you, if we had all this around the country when COVID happened, you absolutely would have saw those turned on people who were outside of lockdown orders in California that were, you didn't take your vax, you can't go here, you can't travel.
Can you imagine how they would have used this capability? I mean, if the government large, you know, the federal government was willing to suppress people's free speech rights on social media, which they did, okay? If local governments were willing to suppress people's freedom of movement rights due to the exigent circumstance of a healthcare emergency in many states, though not in Florida, or at least not for very long in Florida, which they did, why wouldn't they use this technology? As you know, it's available. Oh, we have the movements. We can make sure that people aren't doing what they shouldn't be used. So it can be misused, right? It is often used for good, but it can be misused potentially.
So when you're dealing with this as a policymaker, you got to look, okay, how's it being used? I guarantee you every sheriff in Florida can point to examples where it's been used appropriately and probably effectively. And I have no doubt that's the case. But you also have to say, okay, how could this be misused? And how could a private company misuse the data, but also law enforcement?
Because the architecture that creates the information is always potentially subject to being turned into something else. And, you know, once you create the surveillance network and the information database and the AI to peruse it, you know, how could it then be misused? We know the stories about, you know, bad cops using it to follow their ex-girlfriends or whatever, but that's not the only thing.
You know, there was an officer in Florida who was using the LPR data to track like an ex-girlfriend or something like that. I don't think we have really strong penalties at all for that type of misuse.
Now, to be clear, we've been assured by our local law enforcement, you know, good cops, sheriffs and police chiefs here, that that's not allowed. And if it does happen, people get punished and there are safeguards in place to kind of prevent that from happening. And I trust all of them. As I've said many times, I have no problem with our local law enforcement agents. I'm aware of what is possible if. And I'm always concerned about what's possible if, and that's what the governor is now concerned about, too.
I've called for legislation that will protect Floridians from allowing the state to turn in to some type of digital prison, digital surveillance state, where somebody knows everything about what you're doing every day of the week. You know, if you want to get in your car and you want to go down to Bucky's in St. Augustine, it's really none of the government's damn business if you're doing that, right? I mean, like, let's just be clear.
And that's exactly it. It's that freedom of movement, freedom of association, presupposes a general protection against government intrusion into your life, government watching you. In this country, we just don't want the government paying that close of attention to individual behavior. We have a really strong revulsion for the idea of being watched. even though we recognize that Ring cameras and dash cameras and cell phones are everywhere, we don't like it. We don't like it. And we especially don't like it when the government, we like law enforcement, but a law enforcement is the tool of the government. We're not comfortable with that.
No one's given law enforcement more tools than we have, but they need to be targeted at criminals. I don't want things that are sweeping up just everyday citizens, and we're told, oh, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. No one's going to use it. Then come to find out some company, you know, is harvesting that, and they can make a fortune. If they can create a dossier on your movements, they would be able to make a fortune in selling that to companies for advertising and for product placement and all these other things. And it's like, man, have we not had enough of that over these recent years?
Now, here's what I think we should be fair about this. You know me. I always try to cover both sides as much as we possibly can. I think, in fact, I know, okay? If flock cameras go away, oh, and I don't think I've told you the fact. Sorry. The governor yesterday, well, FDOT, yesterday issued a directive that all of the right-of-way permissions for all of the local law enforcement agencies who have flock cameras on state roads are no longer valid. So on Burgess, on Davis, on 98, on 90, anywhere that's a state road where you've got a flock camera used by Santa Rosa or Escambia or PPD or Gulf Breeze, the permission to have those cameras on those poles has now been revoked. They have 30 days to take them down. In fact, they've even said, FDOT said in the order, we can take them down now if we want to, but we want you to take them down within 30 days. So flock cameras on state roads have now been effectively banned for local law enforcement. It's not clear whether state law enforcement will keep theirs, whether FDOT will keep theirs. It's just one of the questions we have. So you've had Duval sheriffs, Okaloosa sheriffs have already said they're going to take them out of the county right-of-ways as well. So they're getting rid of theirs. I will talk with Chip Simmons here in about 15 minutes about what we're doing here in Escambia County. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll find out. I also have questions about whether the red light cameras are valid. They're not LPRs, really. They're cameras. You know, they take a photo. There's a reason they flash. It's not an LPR. But it does record your license plate, and then that gets processed, and a human looks at it and looks at the video in the camera. So, but those are all on state roads. Like, the ones in Gulf Breeze are on Highway 98. The ones in Pensacola are also 98 as Gregory. But Fairfield, Airport, Brent, those are all state roads. Are those now illegal, too, because they're on state right-of-ways? I don't know. I plan to ask. I think that the toll-by-plate ones are going to be okay because they're not local law enforcement. That's, you know, the toll system. So I think those are going to stay. But it's a lot of questions, you know, and will this be tweaked before the 30 days expire? I've talked to the local law enforcement so much that So first question for you, 437-1620. What do you think about this decision? Are you celebrating? Are you concerned? You know, what do you think? I'm curious. But also, it's very clear to me that if these cameras go away, more crimes will happen, more crimes will go unsolved. Crimes will happen because crimes go unsolved, right? The person gets away with it once, they do a second. The person under the current system, they don't get away with it, they get put in jail, the second crime doesn't occur, right? That's the whole idea of incapacitation. If you put somebody in jail, they can't do another crime, okay? So children who are missing are going to not be found. People who are human trafficked are going to be human trafficked and not be found, not be caught. Drugs are going to ship. Murders are not going to be solved. Car thefts are not going to be solved. Sexual assaults are not going to be solved if we get rid of the flock cameras. I accept that trade. It horrifies me, but I accept it, and I'll tell you why. Because we have a system in this country. Well, I should say I'm 55%. The whole thing makes me very unhappy. I think these are, like Chip Simmons said, extraordinarily effective law enforcement tools. The most important law enforcement tool that he's had in his career, he said. More than fingerprints, more than DNA. But man, the trade-off of a society where all your movements are tracked horrifies me. And I don't want that world. We have rapidly progressed toward that world. Between Ring doorbell cameras, your phones, your dash cams, you know, just traffic cameras, all of it. It's bad where we are. It's bad where we're going. But the cost of not going to that place in the future, the cost of not being at that place right now, is crimes will go unsolved and villains will get away with it. But we already make that trade. The police can't just track all the phone calls you make. Can't listen to the phone calls you make without a warrant. Can't track your texts and listen to those. Can't track your emails and look at those. They are not allowed to see your Google search history. You could. I mean, theoretically, we could let the government watch everybody's web traffic. Would you want that world? Would you want it even if they promised you that nobody would ever know what it is unless you commit a crime? You wouldn't. Does that mean that crimes don't get solved? It absolutely does. Does that mean crimes don't get prevented? It absolutely does. We take that deal because we believe in privacy. We believe in freedom of association, freedom of movement, and freedom of expression. And we don't like the idea of a government watching us all the time without probable cause, without warrants. Granted, in the public, it's different. I know. You know, we're licensed to drive. The cars themselves get licenses. That's literally the license plate. And so movement in a car on a public road does involve the government by nature. At the same time, does that mean that government has a right to track everything you do in your car? We're saying no. That will mean crimes don't get solved. But that's what the governor said yesterday. 437-1620, 437-1620. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a slowdown 29 southbound between Roberts Road and I-10. Just a minor delay at the front gate of NES Pensacola. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, somebody sent in a text that says, can flock cameras track $10 million that were laundered for political purposes? Nope. Says he's just trying to distract from the Hope Florida Foundation stuff. Well, I mean, who knows? But certainly this is the big story. Absolutely, this is the big story in Florida right now. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. They're going to warranty all the late model cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles and take care of you because that's what they do. They're there to be there for you in the future. Like, you know, the typical experience you have with buying a car is very much they're trying to get as much out of you one time as possible. At Frontier, it's we are trying to become your friend that you trust, that you use for cars for the next 35, 40 years. We want to be the place you buy all your cars from. And so we'll take not getting as much out of you one time in order to just get the repeat business because we want to treat you well. And it makes you feel not icky in the process, which is what I loved about them. So there's a reason they've been around for 29 years as the place to go to for used cars here in the Pensacola area. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'm Britton with Northstone Baptist Church, and I'm thrilled to announce that our children's ministry, Awana, resumes Wednesday night, September 2nd. Awana is an internationally known ministry, which focuses on teaching children how to memorize the Bible in a fun and safe environment. Children from 3 years old through the sixth grade will benefit from this large group Bible study, the small group first memory time, as well as the fun activity time. This is a terrific program for your child. Northstone Baptist Church is located on the northwest corner of Pensacola, close to the intersection of 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road. Our Awana clubs meet every Wednesday night, starting September 2nd at 6:45 p.m. Whether it's Cubbies, Sparks, or TNT, Awana has a place for your child. So register your child now at northstonebaptist.org. Or to find out more information about this exciting children's ministry, visit our website. Again, that's northstonebaptist.org.
At FPL, we plan for storm season all year long. We're strengthening poles to better withstand severe weather. We're clearing lines to improve resiliency, and we're constantly training teams to act at a moment's notice. Because we're always working, always preparing. So when storms do hit, you can count on us. Learn more at fpl.com/storm. FPL, working for you every single day.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Somebody writes in, a good friend writes in and says, well, Andrew, you've officially joined the Tinfoil Hat Club, and I pray that you or any of these opponents to Flock never has the challenge of having a loved one or a child abducted or murdered that doesn't go solved because we don't have access to these cameras. Well, you know, you can sweet talk me all you want. Use your pet names for me. Yeah, but we already do that, again, with email and text and phone calls and your web searches. You don't allow the government to surveil those without a warrant, without probable cause, and it's the same issue in a different context, in my opinion. Pick them all or pick none of them. Don't try to divide the one from the other just because it happens to happen in public where there's licenses involved. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A Nepalese school principal being credited with saving 900 students from devastating flash floods. Rajendra Dawadi ordered students and staff to higher ground after receiving warnings that floodwaters were racing through the valley. That school ended up being destroyed. Two staff members remain missing. The floods killed more than 950 people in Nepal and Tibet.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, this person responded back and said, those two things are very different. One is private, one is public. Yeah, but the concerns are exactly the same, and we've just created an artificial distinction that seems like it makes them different. But if the issue is law enforcement and solving crimes and kids and murders, you know, look at everybody's web search history. Look at everybody's emails and their texts, right?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump reportedly considering limited strikes to stop Iran from targeting ships in the Strait of Hormuz.
One U.S. official told Axios the idea behind the plan is to reduce the risk of Iranian attacks on oil tankers, U.S. Navy ships, and Air Force aircraft to mow the lawn. Overnight, another tanker coming out of the strait reported being hit by three projectiles.
It's Fox's Trey Yinks. With oil shipping tied in the strait, President Trump is set to meet with oil refiners as he works to boost America's energy independence and bring down costs.
And the White House hasn't yet released a list of who exactly is coming, but Reuters is reporting that Exxon is not going to be one of those participants today. Meanwhile, the president says he is tapping into Venezuelan oil as the country grants 100-year concessions.
It's Fox's Aisha Hosni. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now, 77 degrees. We've got sunshine this morning. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Pensacola State College's Board of Trustees has named Florida Commerce Secretary Alex Kelly as the sole finalist to become the college's next president. Kelly would replace Ed Meadows, who is retiring here at the end of the year. Meadows has led PSC since 2008. Kelly has served in several roles under Governor DeSantis, including as his deputy chief of staff and chief of staff at the Department of Education. He is set to visit the PSC campus in late September to meet with students, faculty, and community members. Kelly joins a growing list of DeSantis administration officials who've now taken top leadership roles at Florida colleges and universities. A homeless woman wanted in connection with an August shooting from inside a cantonment shed is now behind bars. 36-year-old Lisa Ann Elliott faces charges of attempted second-degree murder and shooting into a building. Deputies say she shot a man through the door of a shed he'd let her stay in, then fled the area after asking neighbors to borrow a gun, saying there was going to be trouble. She evaded capture for about 2 weeks before being found. She is being held without bond. Governor Ron DeSantis says he doesn't want Florida turning into a digital surveillance state. He's putting the blame for inaction on the Florida House. The governor's pushing for what he calls an AI Bill of Rights that would set guardrails on license plate reader cameras and other AI-powered surveillance tools.
I called for an AI Bill of Rights earlier this year. The Florida Senate passed a version of it 39-1, which could have addressed not just the Flock cameras, but also the online surveillance in the age of AI that I think is going to continue to be something that is going to, threaten the privacy and even freedom of individual Floridians. The Florida House was not willing to even take it up. And so they were totally dismissive of the need to do that. They were very wrong about that.
And the governor says he expects that issue to come back before lawmakers, possibly tied to implementing legislation required if that property tax constitutional amendment passes in November. A federal appeals court ruling of the Seventh Circuit could have ripple effects in Northwest Florida cases involving AI-generated child sexual abuse material. The court ruled that possessing AI-generated child sexual abuse material is legal as long as it stays in the home, citing First Amendment protections and past Supreme Court decisions. That ruling applies only in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, but as a federal decision, it could still be cited in motions locally.
The courts in this case got it wrong. I realize that this is an emerging level of technology. Everything changes, but the courts have to keep up, and in this case, they failed.
And that is PPD Chief Eric Winstrom. He talked to Channel 3 right now. Possessing, creating, or sharing CSAM material remains illegal in Florida. But that ruling, again, could be used locally in court cases as an attempt to dismiss a possession charge. It's 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high wage jobs and private capital investment the Gros Gambie County's tax base. There is a slowdown 29 southbound between Roberts Road and I-10. Also, 9 Mile westbound, backed up from I-10 to about Pinecone Drive. Also, have a vehicle crash on the board, and that is Navarre Parkway at Lunetta Street in Navarre. No roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now, our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a small chance of rain today, 30% chance of a few pop-up showers. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Wednesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 92 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
77 degrees we've got. Mostly sunny skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Waiting for home buying to get more affordable? Experts say don't hold your breath in 2027. CNBC reports that the latest forecast suggests 30-year fixed mortgage rates could remain closer to 7% next year. Mortgage News Daily reports that the average 30-year fixed rate is currently 6.87%. eMarketer reports that the U.S. live stream shopping industry is forecasted to reach nearly $20 billion in sales this year, which is more than double than 2024. Apps like TikTok and Whatnot are drawing more live sellers and creating spaces for like-minded consumers. Last-mile delivery company OneRail is launching a new platform with NVIDIA to use AI to help retailers make faster and more efficient delivery decisions. CNBC reports that the platform, called OmniStar, has already been deployed with a few customers. OneRail said the platform should help smaller retailers better compete with Walmart and Amazon. Futures are moderately lower as global bond yields rise. That's your money now.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
My brother had his identity stolen. My neighbor did too.
Identity theft is the number one crime in America.
My gosh, my manager? My cousin?
LifeLock detects, alerts you to, and fixes identity theft guaranteed or your money back.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Kinda makes you think.
Don't wait to become the one identity theft happens to. Get LifeLock. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Well, I've been on the record as saying that what we don't want in the state of Florida is to have a digital AI surveillance state where everything we're doing is being tracked at all times. But I will tell you, if we had all this around the country when COVID happened, you absolutely would have saw those turned on people who were outside of lockdown orders in California that were, oh, you didn't take your vax, you can't go here, you can't travel.
You know, we've been talking about this all day because it is the big story in Florida right now. Governor DeSantis yesterday, through the Department of Transportation, issued a rescission, essentially. They pulled back their permission to have flock-style license plate readers on all the public right-of-ways in state roads, which is the majority of where traffic goes, which is why that's where local sheriffs have placed these cameras. It's a huge announcement. They have up to 30 days for it. I have been talking this morning also about the question whether this applies to red light cameras. I've checked with a couple of people, and the temporary answer is they don't think it applies to them because it's more the license plate readers only specifically. But obviously, this is big news, and we want to see what our local law enforcement thinks about it. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, our Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I know this conversation will take up our whole conversation, so let's start with the crimes and incidents first, and then we'll get to this because I want to make sure that we have enough time for that. We had a shooting yesterday on Pine Forest Road. What happened here?
Well, we get a call. We get two calls, actually. One from an apartment on Pine Forest Road and one on the Oyo Hotel on Pensacola Boulevard. So the Pine Forest Road apartment, we made contact with the people there, and we made forced entry because we felt like there was an individual that had been shot. Sure enough, there was an individual that was shot and killed at his Pine Forest Road apartment. And sure enough, the call at the Oyo Hotel on Pensacola Boulevard, we contacted Ashanti Brown, and she was there, and she said, oh, I did it, but I did it in self-defense. Well, we did a pretty thorough investigation and found that the evidence did not support a self-defense claim, and we ended up charging her with second-degree murder. So bottom line is they were engaged in some sort of an argument at the apartment, it appears, and she shot and killed him. And then, oh, by the way, she took the doorbell camera and then her phone, and we found that discarded in a ditch over in Santa Rosa County. That doesn't help your self-defense claim when you remove evidence of that. Like that,
because presumably, if the evidence exonerated you, you'd love to have cops looking at it. If
a reasonable person would think that, yeah, let's look at this. This is what happened.
Have you had a chance yet to actually look at the phone or the data card to know whether it contains incriminating or no?
Not yet. We obviously took in evidence, and we're
okay. So she's been detained pending the investigation.
She's been arrested. Yeah.
Yeah, and those charges could be upgraded depending on what you find in subsequent investigation.
Right now,
second degree.
But yeah, it could. Okay. It would have to be a planned thing, an ambush type thing to upgrade it too much.
That's
too much,
by the way, quick work to find that stuff in Santa Rosa County. Discarded some.
Our guys don't play.
Yeah, that's
they do a good job, and thorough job.
We had a man shot in the Villages. What happened here? So, this is on Blue Angel.
Yeah, the Village is at Southern Oaks Apartments, located on Blue Angel Parkway. We got called last night for a 27-year-old male that said that he had been shot in the right calf. He said it would happen somewhere around Wedgewood, but he would not say where, and he refused to talk about the incident. So I assume he shot himself.
Okay.
that's, you know, why else wouldn't you tell us what's going on?
All right. So you assume he shot himself in the wrong calf. I'm sorry. I could. Just, we'll move on. We've had some vape shop burglaries. Is that right?
We did. Over the last couple of weeks, we had, I think, a five total burglaries up around the Nine Mile Road area on some vape shops. And again, our guys did a really good job of investigating it. And ultimately, we were able to determine those three individuals. I don't have their names with me right now, but we ended up arresting yesterday just before close, you know, just before I left. And we ended up charging them with the five burglaries of those vape shops.
This is different from the city of Pensacola arrest for the people who had broken into the marijuana shops and stolen medical marijuana, though, right? This is not connected?
Yeah, no. This seems to be a recent trend where people are trying to break into vape shops and or marijuana dispensaries.
We've thinking they have money, thinking they have goods, thinking they have something worth stealing.
Well, the thought there is that, you know, money and drugs, I guess you're in for a night.
Yeah,
for
okay,
a night.
All right. You're in for a night. You make me laugh. Also, I don't know anything about this. I don't have kids of school age of the right sort, and the one who's still in high school is, you know, homeschooled anyway. The Cat in the Hat meme with the schools and what is this? People are posting images of the Cat in the Hat lurking, kind of like the Clown in the Woods kind of thing. I now have said everything I think I know. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know much more than that, except for whenever this image is presented, it's some sort of a threat, a school threat, is what it's taken as. We had that here in Escambia County Schools. Fortunately, nothing happened yesterday. We were aware of it. I want to say it happened. I know it happened in Okaloosa County, and it may well have happened in Santa Rosa County as well, which means it probably happened throughout the country. These things don't typically happen in a vacuum. So what it means is that there's a threat to shoot up a school or to damage to individuals at a school. And again, we take all these things serious, as silly as they may sound, because ultimately someone may take them serious. And again, we have to be aware of that.
And also a note for kids and parents alike that the kid may not be intending it as a threat, thinking it's just some cute, funny, goofy thing, not quite understanding the significance. And we want them to know, don't do this, because this is what it actually can be interpreted as meaning. So,
yeah. And what you do is you cause all this uproar.
You
got law enforcement presence, you have increased security, you have people knocking on parents' doors, and you have all these things. So I agree with you. That's a good point, is to tell your kids, don't just arbitrarily
do weird stuff. Don't do weird stuff online. Yeah, or maybe just don't have social media. We're talking to Chip Simmons, our Escambia County Sheriff, Chip Simmons. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash and injuries, Olive Road at North Hilburn Road in Pensacola. There's a roadblock there. Use caution. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock, Blue Angel Parkway at Dog Track Road. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, Sheriff, you and I have talked extensively about the flock cameras. I know you're a big advocate. And I don't disagree with you that they're a major law enforcement tool. Of course, as you know, I've recently kind of... I'm a 55-45 on this. I hate losing the law enforcement capability. I do, because I see the value that it has. I have real serious concerns about government surveillance. Well, now the governor has come out and, as you well know, said you got to pull these poles out of every state road right away, which is all of the major route. I mean, the bulk of traffic goes on these roads. So first question, what are you guys doing as a result of this order that came down from FDOT yesterday?
You know, we've been talking about this for months, and specifically last couple of weeks, about the balance between privacy and crime prevention and public safety.
Of course.
And not just you and I.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it. All the county sheriff's office. I was in Tallahassee last week in a meeting, and we were talking specifically about Amendment 3 and license plate readers. And we're evaluating it. We're continuing to evaluate it. I will tell you that the governor's decision to remove them from state roadways has a pretty severe impact on our program and our network itself. Probably a third of our cameras were on state roadways.
So. Only a third. I was thinking the number would be higher. Only a third. Okay.
No, we have a lot on county right-of-ways and some in public, private locations.
Mm-hmm.
But about a third of ours, maybe a little over a third of our cameras are on the state roadway. So that's going to severely impact our network. The networks are only as good as they are when they're complete and you're committed to that technology. So
sure.
I've heard and I've talked to many people about their concerns. You're one of the people that I take opinions from and measure.
I appreciate that.
And there's that measure on how much is too much and what are their appropriate safeguards with regards to the program itself. We've been doing a lot of education. You know, our cameras don't have facial recognition. We have double verification, so there's no misread of a tag.
Double verification.
So that if we get an alert and we see a car and we get alert and the deputy is required to look at that tag and verify that that tag is the one that's on the alert.
Okay.
So there's no.
Okay. So two cameras, but that there's a second check to make sure the alert
is check as well as the camera check. And we have done a lot of that. We have had these safeguards in place at the sheriff's office for a long time. But I understand not every agency has had these same safeguards. We talked a lot about the audit, so I won't get into too much of the audits except to say that we continually do it, and we have continuous AI audits, or we had them as well. So, again, the bottom line here is that we're taking this information. Things seem to change every day nowadays. So we're evaluating whether we should do what some sheriff's offices have done throughout the state and put a pause.
Duval and Okaloosa, I think most notably, have said they're going to get them out of the county roads too, right?
Duval, right. Volusia has. Seminole County did last night.
Okay.
And the Florida Sheriff's Association has been talking to the legislative leadership, and they've been working on getting some legislation passed that would a comfort level, if you will,
right,
regarding the regulations and the guidelines.
Access, storage of data, duration, all of these things, right?
And as the sheriff of Escambia County, I want to make sure that our citizens are comfortable with what we do, right? So I want to I have been asking almost everyone I come in contact with, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? There is a value, a great value to law enforcement. Again, but how much is too much, and what comfort level would you have? Like, I guess I don't want to put you on the spot, Andrew, but what is there any comfort level with regards to the rules and regulations and safeguards and guidelines that would make you comfortable with the system itself?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I definitely don't like the keeping of the data. Mm-hmm. I don't like the infrastructure. I honestly just don't like the infrastructure existing.
Right.
But I hate the loss of crime fighting capability. I do. I don't want to. I wouldn't want to be the cop that, one of my kids is wanting to be a cop, and I wouldn't want him to have to show up at somebody's door and say, we couldn't find your daughter because, the people were too worried about totalitarianism. I mean, that's.
Yeah, if this was last month, we had the technology we could have potentially helped, but we can't do it now.
Right. And, I think this is a conversation we need to have. I've said I'm 55%. I used to be 40%. Now I'm 55. I'm like, ugh, I hate it because of that exact reason. And it's not you guys, as you know. I mean, I know that you and Chief Winstrom and Sheriff Johnson are going to do right by this. But, should we be tracking everybody everywhere? That's really the question to me.
Well, as long as people understand what the program does.
Yeah,
where the guidelines are already existing.
Yep.
I foresee some sort of legislation that would say, oh, you can't do it, you're getting in trouble. And we'll be like, no kidding. We've been doing
which
that.
Which is already
that,
true.
That
right.
sort of thing. So I think to me the balance is privacy versus safety. And that's been a balance for 200 plus years, right? I would be comfortable. I'm the sheriff of Escambia County, but I don't run the state, right? So the governor decides he don't want them on state roadways. Then we'll adapt and we'll continue to do our crime fighting here locally.
Would you tell me, because you know the technology, and I still have a lot of questions I want to get to, but I hope we get to them. Is it feasible to run the software in the following way? This tag number has been identified as a tag of interest. And any tag that does not meet that list, kind of like the no-fly list and no-drive list, any tag that doesn't meet that list is immediately deleted from the system. So you're not creating a surveillance database. You're literally only creating a permissive database where identified approved tags are even kept anywhere. Would it be possible to write it that way?
I would think it would be, but here's how effective would it be?
If we get to a robbery and
find out this car did this,
agreed.
And, but we don't know how they got there because it was immediately deleted.
Yep.
Because we didn't have the tag.
No, this wouldn't allow any retroactivity.
Home, right.
Right.
So it really. I don't know that that's practical. It won't do us any good. Again, but
it would be. It would
I do
be
like
some
the retention
good.
Issue where I think Flock went to 7-day retention. We currently have a 30-day retention, whereas it's obviously overridden.
Yeah.
So I can live with whatever safeguards ultimately.
Sure.
You
policed before there were LPRs.
Or, yeah, I can live with that, and we can. And we'll continue to be a fantastic professional law enforcement agency, regardless of what we ultimately do with these license plate readers.
You still have them on county roads. What is your intention right now?
Well, my intention now is to continue with this evaluation that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks with this new information that the state has pulled them. And I have to evaluate whether the network as it stands is still, because there's still that balance. Is it worth it when our system is not as effective as it was before? Because without the states, it's not as effective. It's again, 30, 40% less effective than what it was before. And I was going back and forth, quite frankly, on it before. So now I have to decide, is it at a less effective rate? Is it still worth the entire system? Or should I put a pause on ours, just like others have done, and wait and see what the resolution is, either in legislative conclusion or judicial review or guideline, whatever comes about.
Are you are the cameras still active at the moment? Are you deciding what? Because you only have 30 days, but you could turn off the cameras, or you could turn off those cameras, if not all of them, right now if you wanted to. But they're still active right now.
What we did yesterday is when we got the notice, we notified the Flock and the companies that handles these license plate readers and told, because they're their cameras.
Yep.
And they place those cameras for us, but they place those cameras. And so we notified them, hey, you got 30 days. It wasn't the first time, I'm sure, they were notified of that. So so now they got 30 days to get those cameras out.
Okay.
We have not flipped the switch yet because we have 30 days to do so. And if I have a crime today and we have a use of a license plate reader, we're going to use it. But again, we're going to continue to evaluate that. And we should have a decision, first of all, internally. And then secondly, we should have a decision statewide here in a couple of days.
And then they still have the license plate readers in the cars. Right? Those are allowed. That's not been affected by this at all yet?
That's correct. But that's part of the evaluation. We're pulling the ones from the state. Do we pull the ones from the county or the existing fixed positions that we have now?
Private roads, ones on the trailers, all of these things.
And then we have some other ones that are on our cruiser cars. Yep. And my thought there is that if we're going to do one, we're either going to do it or we're not. So my decision is going to be based upon, at this point, is going to be based upon let's go full fledged into the license plate reader system, or let's not and do a full pause until there's some clarification.
And just to be clear, to make sure people who are tuning in, your position I would summarize as this: you think the Flock license plate reader system is incredibly useful as a law enforcement tool, but at the same time, you are an elected law enforcement officer who will ultimately serve the will of the people. And if the people don't want to be policed this way, then the people don't want to be policed this way. Is that fair?
That's absolutely. Again, that's that balance. Yep. That's the conversation that we've had over the last couple of months on that value versus the privacy issue.
Very good. We're completely out of time. I do want to give a shout to Whitney Lucas, your chief of staff, who has gotten an award, been recognized as one of the key women chiefs of staff for 2026. So Whitney's fantastic. I know she does a lot for you and for the foundation, and kudos to her. Sheriff, I always appreciate you so much, and so much, especially for taking time today and talking about this. And I value our relationship and the information and frankly, the great policing that you do for this county. Crime is down, and I appreciate that too.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash with injuries. US 90 at Avalon Boulevard in Milton, roadblock there. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock Olive Road at Hilburn Road in Pensacola. Use caution. And have a vehicle crash and roadblock South Blue Angel at Dog Track Road. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
Hi, folks. Fred Jury, owner of West Florida Vacuums, asking you to tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30, when I will be on the show discussing how West Florida Vacuums can assist you with vacuum repairs and purchases. If you can't catch the show, please call us at 448-994-0195 or visit westfloridavacuums.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This works out, it's just the beginning of a spree to cover the entire Southwest proper. And we keep going until we can retire. Or we get caught.
Either way, we're fixed for life.
So I will put it this way on the Flock license plate readers. And again, you've heard me talk about this a lot. Criminals are thrilled by this. Right? I mean, criminals know this is a very big hindrance on their operations, their ability to get away with things. Criminals are thrilled. And I mean, we have to be honest about that. I really have a question of whether the governor talked to any cops before he made this decision. Because it doesn't sound like it from the way he was talking about this yesterday. You know, I've had conversations with our local law enforcement about this a lot. I know the costs. I'm very uncomfortable about the costs of getting rid of these cameras. Because, you know, I want my kid to be found. I want my wife to be found. I want the person who steals my car to be found. And the criminals love this decision. But the totalitarians hate it. You know, like that. Ugh. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline.
Army Secretary Dan Driscoll is expected to resign in the coming days after the White House accepted his resignation. Driscoll served since February of 2025, and he's reportedly disagreed with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth over Army readiness and other issues. Andrew, there's a new record set as the oldest person to complete the Appalachian Trail. 91-year-old Dale Sanders finished the 2,200-mile trek. He says he fell 71 times, but kept going. And he was also the previous record holder. He set that back 91? In 2017.
Bro, call me when you're 100. I'm just not impressed.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.